Fred Film Radio at the Torino Film Festival. Angela Cerbi with you again, and I'm here with Rose Partridge and Jennifer LaFleur, respectively director and actress of Lamp. Good morning.
Good morning.
Buongiorno.
Is that the morning?
That's okay. Enough. I was really touched and slightly confused by your film. Because, I mean, in a good way, not in a bad one. Because the storyline of the movie is very linear, but very kind of weird, of this 47-year-old man that meets this 11-year-old kid. Sure. And they build up a bond that it's never very clear and sometimes very unsettling.
Yes, for sure.
Let's say it.
Yes, yeah.
Can you just tell us something more about the idea of the movie and how did you want to create, to portray it to us?
Well, it was a novel first, so I found the book, and then, you know, what I responded to most in the book was exactly what you were saying, is that, you know, we tend to easily judge people and cannot really conceive of a relationship that like this could exist, and so we, for the most part, want to kind of push it off to the side and not look at it so closely. And I think that with, you know, two people who are unlike maybe you or I, who are so lonely in the world and so feeling such a loss and a disconnect, for them to have this ability to connect with one another is something that I felt that was just really worth examining and worth exploring. Of how it, for me, it was a, you know, it's basically a love story, but it's not romantic love.
No, exactly.
It's love turned upside down. It's the type of love that you don't get when you're a child and how that affects the rest of your life.
The weird thing is that the child is kind of confused herself, too, at the very beginning by this, because she didn't understand why this man wanted her to be his friend. And you know, it was very confused.
Sure, but at the same time, she was equally a part of it. It wasn't just him.
She needed some adult relationship that she didn't have at home.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you look at her, the first moment you see her, she's walking across the, you know, a parking lot dressed like her mother, an older version of her mother, and she's 11 years old and dressed inappropriately for somebody.
And then
there was this
dreadful conversation that she has when she first come, when we first see the parents.
Yeah,
they didn't consider her at all like a piece of furniture. You know,
exactly.
How much did you have to change from the original story of the book? How did you adapt the book to the screenplay?
The book is pretty spot on to the screenplay. Again, there was things about the novel that, as far as being a low budget film, we had to take into consideration how certain things would kind of, how we would combine certain scenes and put them in certain locations because just of, you know, logistical reasons. And then as far as like the overall story, the relationship is exactly the same as you have, you know, in the film. But there are certain moments that are even farther psychologically that are a little bit more intense, that you just quite don't, cinematically it's a little bit harder to comprehend when you see it in front of you, but when you're reading it, you kind of, it's a little bit easier to kind of take in. So to have like a, you know, a 48-year-old or 47-year-old man and an 11-year-old girl, immediately people are on guard, you know.
Oh yeah, so, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I was on guard for three quarters of the film at least.
Waiting. Yeah. Oh no!
Always
all the way through the end.
God, down the something. Yeah. It's really going to happen. Something bad is going to happen. And then actually, it doesn't.
It's amazing. It's kind of like it really is like a Rorschach test with people and how they respond to it, and how, you know, you are waiting for that, for these moments, and it's almost easier if we could identify it. We would have an easier time if it was, you know, if he was, we knew he was going to be dangerous and he was a killer, or if he knew he was going to be, it was a sexual thing, like right off the bat, then people somehow could kind of tolerate that.
You know where you stand,
and for some reason, to me, that's what was so exciting about these type of a character like this, is that it's not laid out in front of you, and you have to go on this journey as he is going on this journey.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And he is discovering things with us, basically.
Yeah.
You know. Jennifer, I wanted to ask you, your role is like the fiancé, whatever we can call her, of the lead actor, and she is faced with this situation. How would you react in real life if something happened to you?
With the little girl, like encountering
Girl? Encountering the girl, yeah.
I mean, I think probably quite similar. You never really want to interfere with other people's business too much. But I mean, my own personality is I'm always kind of very aware of if somebody needs help or if something's wrong. So I think that I would probably really reach out. But I have no reason to think that he is anything other than her father or her, you know, uncle or whatever. So I think she's concerned and she doesn't know quite whether to do something else or to just get in her car and go about her way. And you don't really know if she does do anything afterwards because it stays in the bubble with Gary and Tommy mm-hmm. throughout the whole movie. And you don't know if she does kind of maybe hear something or see something or make a phone call, you know, where it can potentially pull out a needle and pop that bubble. Mm-hmm. But she's that's also the magic of the film. It just really sticks with these two people in an isolated situation.
And she's also, you know, the whole story is about these characters who their relationships are not functional. They're not normal relationships. I mean, her relationship to him is equally as troubling as his relationship to the young kid because he spins a lot of tales in order for his own survival, and she's been along for this journey for a while, and yet she's so herself is in such a great like need to have this relationship with this man who she knows even better at times. She knows that the stories that he's weaving are not necessarily always true, and the way she's being treated mm-hmm. is not necessarily the way she really wants to be treated, but yet she's there for him and she sticks it out, and it's kind of endemic of like people who are in such, you know, like alcoholics, and they have these relationships with one another because their need is so much stronger, and it's not logic, it's based on need.
Do you think, both of you think, that if the situation was reversed, if it was like a 47-year-old woman and an 11-year-old kid, we as OG would have been that challenged as we are, being a man and a girl?
I think either way, it's a little bit of a strange situation, but I think the threat is diminished significantly when it's an older woman. There's a more natural maternal instinct. It seems less dangerous than an older man and a little girl. And I think that, you know, just you read the news and you see terrible things about, you know, what happens with kidnappings or you know, places that the movie does not go, but that the audience thinks that it must
go.
Yeah,
exactly, which is...
So, but I think it's still a strange situation, but not as dangerous.
No, exactly. Because I think that the predator is always the man.
Yes.
Not a woman. I mean, yeah. Not mm-hmm. could be, but it's like
could
in
be.
The.
And could, if it was, it would be extremely terrifying.
Much more than. Yeah, absolutely. Listen, Ross, how did you find this girl? Like, she is like, come on.
She's amazing.
It's more beyond that.
Yeah, she's incredible. You know, she was one of the original Matildas on Broadway. So she's
oh, really?
she before we even met her, she had already won a Tony or was nominated for a Grammy. Oh, so she's doing all right.
She's big.
She's doing all right. We had a casting director who knew of her already and had worked with her before. And when we went out to try to find this kid, you know, I was pretty certain that if we didn't find the right, you know, and I know directors say that when they're working with children all the time, like, if we don't find the right kid, we're not going to be able to do this film. But this is a really challenging role for not only a child, for if it was an adult playing this role.
No, exactly.
It's an incredible role.
It's like 50% of the film is on her, so.
Yeah, so, but the casting director, Allison Estrin, was very swift, and she said, you know, it's not going to be as difficult as you think, because there's only about 5 girls who are actually capable of doing this. Mm. So that narrows it down.
Of course, it was a selection of abilities.
Yeah,
more
and
than
then we met Una, and we just, you know, she's an incredible force of nature, and she's lovely, and her parents are lovely. So it was an easy situation. Mm-hmm. We were all coming from the same place, and we were all excited about making it.
And having those two hats, one of director and the other one as lead actor, how easy or not easy was it? Switch from one to the other.
There were certain moments that were incredibly difficult, but for the most part, I had a really great team of people who were my eyes while I was acting. Jen mm-hmm. was one, and I had producers who were always kind of watching things. But, I say this because it was really more about the actual. To me, it just made sense that I would play this role in hopes that I had to create this intimacy with this young child, and or the character had to be, you know, the two, a 47-year-old and an 11-year-old, and whether it's another actor, I have to hope that I can have the intimacy of working with a child, and she and I can have that great relationship, and then I have to hope that maybe if it was another actor, that they too have that same kind of connection. And I knew what I was capable of, so it was more just trusting that, you know, if I find the right girl, it was probably going to be just a lot easier and a lot more simpler if I played the part and be able to manage that, you know.
My last question is about the audience that watched the movie. Which reaction did you get?
I don't know how it was we haven't screened it here, so I don't know what it's going to be interesting tonight to see, you know, how people, yeah, for an international audience. But for the most part, meaning, what is your thought that there are only two versions of this, or, you know, it's either A or B, or what?
No, I think there could be like a C,
what kinds of reaction?
Medium, yeah.
Yeah, no, but overall, the response has been incredible, and people have, you know, the reason that we made this film is exactly what people are responding to and are walking away with. It's a hard journey. It's not an easy thing, but neither is life and neither is love, and it's complicated. And
oh, yeah. It's complicated, for sure.
Yeah.
So, that scene in the hotel room for me was the hardest one to watch because I was sure. Well, I was not sure, but I was like 80% sure that something would have happened.
Yes.
And you're always expecting something because you
know, there's a lot of scenes in the hotel room. So yeah, there's numerous ones, but the one
the first one when you're the girl going in the
elevator
before leaving
journey. It's crafted in a way that it is. It's playing with the idea that we take our stereotypes of people, and that's exactly what we're going to plug in right here, and that's got to be it. But people are, you know, if it were only that easy, if people were just as kind of generic and simple as the stereotypes that we've created based on...
And then basically we always thought the worst. This is...
And you always think the worst based on that, you know, but people not only can surprise you in a good way, but they can surprise you in a very, you know, not good way as well, so... That in between is you know where most people live, and I think it's an interesting thing to explore.
Well, thanks a lot. Thank you, Ross Bettridge and Jennifer LaFleur, for being with us.
Thank you
from
very
the
much.
Film Lamb, Angela Cerbi from Fred Film Radio from the Torino Film Festival.
Fred Film Radio 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.